He's got through. 35-30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk. The guy to my right is Jeff Fiegels, 201-939-4513. One full hour of Giants and NFL talk right here on Giants.com.
One full hour.
Jeff, it is a very exciting weekend as always. It is championship weekend. We're getting ready for both the AFC and NFC championship games. And I want to start the show with them because I think you can talk about some of the issues in this game.
Issues.
And you can kind of reflect them back on the Giants and maybe why they had some issues and some struggles over the course of this year. So, obviously, the game everybody's talking about is the early game, which is early only because it was pre-scheduled. If they knew this was going to be the matchup, trust me, it would have been the primetime game.
Of course.
And that's the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I'll call it swan song because I think this will probably be Peyton's last year, given how well he's done and how far the Broncos have gone. And this is kind of a back-to-the-future, back-to-the-past, you know, type of thing here for these two quarterbacks. And the script's really flipped a little bit here. And, you know, we talked about this earlier, where when these two guys went at it back in the day, it was Peyton Manning that had his Colts team on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady was kind of the game manager at the start of his career,
right,
and had the great defense supporting him. And now while the Patriots' defense is so strong,
yeah, they're a good team.
Now it's really more of a situation where Peyton is trying not to lose the game, protect the football, do what he can to score some points.
Has that defense.
But he's going to rely on the defense to do a lot of the heavy lifting to win that game.
Yeah, and he has to. And not only that, rely on that defense, John, too. Also rely on the running game. Because if this Denver team is going to rely on Peyton Manning getting it done with his arm and through the air, they're going to lose the game. If all of us watched and you feel that he played better than a lot of people thought he did.
I think he's got a bad rap. They dropped 8 of that guy's passes.
They did.
He could have thrown for 250, 270 yards if they didn't drop those passes.
Now, let me ask you a question.
All right, I'm going to give you an answer.
We've seen enough football to know that when a football comes out of a quarterback's hands repeatedly through practice, training camp, in games, it has a nice spiral to it.
Okay.
And you're used to catching that type
there
of ball.
There might not have been a great spiral. I get that.
I'm going to hear it. And everything I try to do is to get the fans to watch this show to understand where we're coming from. And most of the time where I'm coming from, because it's all over the freaking place, okay? I can tell you this. When I'm back there getting ready to catch a punt, snap, Ryan Keel, Zach DiAssi, all the guys that have snapped footballs to me, nice tight spirals, right? Used to catching it. Then all of a sudden, once in a while, we call it, they throw me back a box of knives, right?
And the ball's kind of,
it's like a picture of a box of knives, and I throw it to you. And they're just all over the place. And that ball's wobbling. It's not your normal way of catching a football because it's wobble here, wobble there. I'm telling you right now that those balls those guys dropped the other day were because of the rotation and how it was coming out of his hand, you know, and maybe a little bit of fault of their own. But this is my theory now, okay? So I just think go back to what we just talked about, the Packer – the Broncos are going to have to.
You are all
over
the place.
The Broncos are going to have to rely on that running game, and they're going to need to convert some of their third downs. And Peyton Manning will have to do that either in the air, or if they get into. I think they have to run the football. Their defense is very, very good. I think their defense can cover Gronkowski, those linebackers, and I think that their defense can also cover their receivers. So it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. I really do. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game because I like both of these defenses. And I think that New England, you know, they're offensively have gotten better over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I think that they can put some points up, but not against this defense.
Well, let's be honest.
Okay, let's
be
flat out honest.
If the Broncos want to win this game, do they have to win the turnover battle? If this is a straight
yes,
up
because
clean
they
game,
get, yeah, yeah.
I don't think they can score with New England.
Well, listen, they're just as bad as the Giants were in red zone. I mean, they can't score touchdowns. I mean,
well, when you can't run the ball, that's going to happen.
And McManus, I mean, this is a guy that was in training camp that the Giants traded a few years ago. He's their savior. He's their point machine. So this Broncos team, saw a statistic last week that they had not scored a touchdown in like 20 quarters.
Well, and I think this is going to come back to this too. The Patriots have watched all week that, you know, Manning maybe can't get the ball down the field with zip as much as he has in the past. Can Peyton beat him once or twice over the top? Remember, the ball doesn't have to travel 40, 50 yards in the air to complete a deep pass. You beat a guy off the line of scrimmage, ball's 25 yards in the air, he could still run for a touchdown. Can he get some of those plays
to
Sanders, to Demaryius Thomas, to make the Patriots pay for being so physical near the line of scrimmage? Because I think that's what we're going to see. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to take away those quick timing routes from Peyton. All that stuff around the line of scrimmage, the little slants, the little rubs, all that sort of stuff. They're going to crowd those guys.
Yeah.
Can Peyton make them pay for that? And if he can, the Broncos got a shot.
I think that's the big question. Can he? I don't think he can throw the ball down the field, you know, with any accuracy anymore without and velocity. So, but I think that's a good game plan you just came up with. If you're the Patriots, take away the short stuff, the things that he can do well. And make him force him into doing something that he doesn't do well, and that's throwing the ball down the field. And so if I'm the offensive coordinator for the Broncos, I'm thinking to myself, listen, if they're going to probably do this, it's a chess match, as we all know. Run the football. Just run it. Run the football. Take the time off the clock. Keep that offense of the Patriots off the field and see what you can do. But, yes, I will agree with you. They have to win the turnover battle. And anytime you win the turnover battle, as much as this game these games go further and further in the season, they become more and more critical. That component to a football game and being the number one statistic in football has to go your way in order to stay alive and go to the Super Bowl.
Can the Denver Broncos get to Tom Brady? We know their defensive line can beat the Patriots' offensive line. But can they get there quick enough before Brady's getting rid of the football?
This is this game, this championship game, I only played in one in my career. So, but watching it.
And that was a chilly one, by the way.
That was a chilly one. but it was worth it. Well worth it. This game is the one that gets me the most when the team loses. Because I'd rather lose in the first round, you know, because lose this game.
You're so close.
Oh, my goodness. You're 30 minutes. You're 60 minutes away going into the game, going to the Super Bowl. I mean, just put that in perspective. Out of all the time you spent this, you're 60 minutes away. This is what the coaches would be saying to the players. You're 60 minutes away, guys, to lose this game. And so I remember when we won the NFC Championship game against Green Bay. All I could think about was, we're going to the Super Bowl. This is it, man. Now, obviously, we want to win the game, but we're in the Super Bowl. I'm going to a Super Bowl. Now I got to win it, which we did. But this one, you lose this one, it just eats at you for the next year. I'm telling you, it would just kill me. And how about all those times that the Eagles went to those NFC Championship games and couldn't punch their ticket? I mean, that is...
And the Bucks before they finally won for John Gruden.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Absolutely. All right, give me a prediction on this one.
I like New England. I like it, and I know your picks. We already did it earlier, but I like New England. I feel like they can win this game. They went down there 2 years ago and lost it. I think that they have a little bit of revenge factor, and I like them winning. I don't know what I did. I don't see this being a high scoring game. Maybe 20-17, something like that. 21-14, somewhere.
If the Patriots get to 24 points, I think they're going to win. And I think they'll win fairly easily. But I'm going to let my heartstrings pull brain muscles here. And that's fine. I'm going to go 16-14 Denver. Brandon McManus game-winning 48-yard field goal.
Well, listen, I wouldn't doubt them winning field goal from either of these teams because they're both good kickers.
It's probably not going to happen, Jeff, but I'm and a lot of people aren't. I'm a big Peyton Manning guy. I love watching him play.
I do, too.
And I feel bad that, you know, that neck injury sucked some of the power out of his arm. I think it's too bad. But I hope he has one last chance to win it all. And if they make it, I will root for him in the Super Bowl.
I'm with you from the heart perspective because I want to see Peyton get there. And I just think that it would be nice for him to have that luxury of just riding off into the sunset afterwards, win or lose the Super Bowl if he's in it. But I just cannot – I just – I mean, even though I think the Patriots are going to win, I can't root for them.
No, I hear you. All right, here we go. NFC, and I think this will probably be a better game.
Yes.
Two teams that are tough defensively. They do enough offensively. The Cardinals do more than enough offensively. And Cam Newton's obviously had an MVP caliber year. But both have great defenses. This is going to be a knock you out, rock 'em, sock 'em, you know, toughest man left standing wins type of game here, Jeff.
It's going to be a great football game. I think it's the marquee one of the two. Not from a maybe from a network perspective. I think you were
from
right.
From a football perspective.
From a football perspective, looking at these two teams, I think this is. I believe that the winner of the Super Bowl will come out of one of these two teams.
I think I think these two teams are the best two out of the four.
Correct. I will agree, and I think that you look at both sides of the football defensively. I think they match up. I mean, I think they're very good offensively. I think that Arizona has more playmakers on offense than the Carolina Panthers do. But, in fact, if this game gets into a sloppy field, kind of, you know, we don't know what the heck is going to happen with this weather coming up.
That's advantage
Panthers. Yeah, but that will, you know, then it's going to come down. I think it will favor the Panthers because of Cam Newton being able to run the football in that read option. And I just think that, you know, this is going to be a classic game. And I'm going to pick the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to pick them because I feel like they are the better football team all around and with better playmakers. We were talking about this earlier. The big elephant in the room is what, John, with the Arizona Cardinals? Can
Carson Palmer protect the ball?
Can he protect the football? Because we talk about turnovers like we did earlier. If he's going to turn the ball over like he did last time, it's not going
to
be good.
Well, and it's going to come down to whether or not they can protect him, because obviously the more he gets hit, the odds are he's going to make some bad decisions. I do think the Cardinals will be presented with some opportunities to make some big plays down the field on a Panthers secondary that has had some issues this year. We've seen them implode, quite frankly, at the end of a couple of games late in the year, where the defense has really looked downright pedestrian from time to time, and I think that's a big problem. I think the Cardinals can make some big plays down the field. And two things I think people are sleeping on here, Jeff. One, rookie David Johnson's been really good. He can run, he can catch, he can block.
Both Johnsons.
He does it all. I think he's going to have a very, very big role in this game, trying to unbalance that Panthers defense so they can't pin their ears back and go after Carson Palmer. Number two, I think with all these, you know, big plays in Palmer and all that stuff, people forget how damn good this Cardinal defense is.
Yeah, without Honey Badger.
Calais Campbell's a beast. Patrick Peterson's excellent. You know, they have some really good players, and with the way the Cardinals secondary plays, Deion Buchanan in the middle, I don't know how these Panther receivers are going to get open. You know,
because they're pedestrian
passes.
At best, those guys.
You know, Devin Funchess is fine. Greg Olsen's really good. I don't disagree with that.
No, he's their best receiver.
But unless Cam pulls out some miracles, I don't think they're moving the ball consistently on this Cardinal defense. I really don't.
It just depends on how that secondary is going to play those receivers. And, you know, you brought this up earlier when we were talking about this game. And, you know, one thing that would scare me being a Panthers fan is that, you know, how this team gets up on teams and then lets down. You know, you gotta understand, I don't think this team's going to get up on an Arizona Cardinals football team. These guys are good. I think they're solid. They're very well-rounded on both sides of the football and their special teams court. So, I mean, you look at what happened last week with the Seattle. You know, they get up on them 35-0, and the next thing you know, with 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, they're making a game out of it. Look what happened with the game against the Giants this year, 35-7.
Yeah.
Giants come back. I think there was a game earlier in the year. I don't know. Bob Papa had mentioned it. It might have been with the 49ers. I'm not sure
what
it was.
Well, that game with the Saints where both teams scored in the 40s.
Okay, so,
yeah.
You know, I think that you got to be a little bit weary of that. And, you know, this is the game where all hands on deck, because you're going to the show or you're going home. And I think that this is the best football Sunday going in my opinion, because it matches up. And lo and behold, you got the 1-2 in each conference.
Yeah, and Jeff, I'm with you. I'm picking the Cardinals. I've kind of been riding them since the middle of the year. I think they've been the best team in the conference despite the Panthers' record. So that's how I think it's going to go.
And I like their coach.
201.
I like the coach a lot.
939-4513 Arians. And Ron Rivera and Dave Gettleman's done a great job in Carolina, too. Don't want to take anything away from them. And by the way, we could talk anything about the Giants as well. Still no announcements on assistant coaches. They're still interviewing, they're still talking to people. So once we have that, we'll let you know. But you can call up, ask about who you want the assistants to be, what you're looking for, anything else. Senior Bowl is next week. Haven't done a ton of draft work yet, but I have a decent feel for some of these guys. Free agency, obviously, anything on your mind in regards to the New York Giants or the National Football League, or if you want some shoveling tips from Jeff Eagles, he's more than happy.
You're not
going to
get them from me, man.
He's more than happy to do that. Do you hire somebody? What do you do?
I can't shovel because of my knee. But I will crank up that snowblower, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'll just slowly walk behind that thing and just throw the snow into my neighbor's yard. It's awesome. That's a man's tool. That's like, you know, that and the blower.
I call that the lazy man's tool.
The snowblower?
Pick up a shovel.
That's the smart man's tool.
Okay, that's a good comeback. 201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, and fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is, in fact, brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Charlie, you get to lead us off today, pal.
Charlie.
He's in Portland, Maine. What's up, Chuckles?
Hey, how did this happen? I'm the first one?
Yeah, you're up first, buddy.
It's not even your birthday either. Wow, that's cool.
Hey, you guys got Kohl's?
Kohl's what? Department stores?
Sounds like you got Kohl's, do you?
No.
You know, it's probably our board. It's probably the mics.
Could be the mic. Okay.
We're doing okay.
Like you got a Kohl's. Good. I'm glad you are. Hey, Jeff, tell me this. Would you rather be losing a game in the championship series or like the Buffalo Bills losing 4 Super Bowls?
You know what? I would rather lose the Super Bowls because I'm there. You know what I mean? I'm there and I'm experiencing it. Even though it would be a horrible thing that people would have to talk about like that, and they do a 30-on-30 on it. But I mean, at least I'm there.
That's your life.
Yeah. You know.
That's a tough one, though. I was just joking with you, man.
And you know, when you really think about that, Charlie, that is remarkable that could happen.
I know.
That's just a shame is what it is. To just throw one in there, I think it makes it okay. But 4, wow.
Yeah. To get there 4 years in a row when you lost them, you know, it's just amazing the determination those guys had to go, you know, to do it again, you know, and then to lose again and then do it again. It's amazing, man. It really is. I have to give, you know. Anyway, hey, Jeff, I think what you should do is, you should write a book called Punting for Life.
Okay.
Because punting in life has so many things that people could learn from. You know, sometimes you got to punt it out of bounds, right?
Yep.
Sometimes you got to kick that 60 or 70 yarder. You got to be bold. You got to pooch it. Yep. So, you know, you got to know when to do those things. And your snapper is like consciousness. Because if that snapper doesn't give you the ball, if you're not conscious in life, bad things can happen. So there you go, Jeff. I think you should write a book about punting for life.
Let me tell you something, Charlie.
And I think you have someone that could be a literary agent, too.
Yeah. No. And listen, if I do, and I do use that title, you will have the first copy. I promise you.
All right. I'll write the forward for you. How's
okay.
That?
That's all. Yeah, you pretty much almost just did. So.
There you go.
Charlie, you're getting very deep this morning. You're getting very deep this morning. I'm not sure if I can handle this sort of deep thought from you on a regular basis.
Charlie, now that we got you online, I'm only here once a week, and I keep, you know, when I look over at John, I can't help but look at some of the pinned up things. Can we look at Charlie's? When do you do? Is there a certain time you do that? Or
well, Charlie's got thrown away early because he predicted 8-8. So once the Giants lost their 9th game,
oh, he got thrown
I
away.
I threw that away. But you know what, Jeff? Yeah. You make a good point. Hold on a second. We got
because I know all year long your paper was up here, and I just kept, you know. And you're one of our favorite callers, so at least mine. And so I just was, you know, looking at all these. Man, we got a lot of predictions up there.
In fact, today might be a good day to go through them. Why not?
I don't know who's going to be right on any of these.
I'm sure very few people will be right, to be honest with you.
I mean, this would be a nice, you know, there is a lottery. These are like lottery tickets, you know. That's about how hard it is going to be win to have a winner.
I'm going to kill everybody that gets stuff wrong, too, by the way.
Yeah, but thank you, Charlie. I mean,
that was yourself there, John.
That's your. Trust me, I've gotten many things wrong. So, I always make fun of myself too. Remember that.
I know you do.
All right, Charlie.
I just gotta say, I want the Broncos to
You do. Okay.
I think Arizona's going to win. I just don't trust the Panthers. I just don't think. I mean, you can't say they're not good because they won 15 games, but I don't know. I just think Arizona's going to win, and I just think somehow Peyton is going to beat the Pats and go to the Super Bowl.
See, I have a funny feeling, too, Charlie. I agree with you. Something inside me just, you know.
God, I hope it happens.
Makes me think the Broncos are going to figure out a way in this game. I don't know how, but I think they are.
I want to see that look on Brady's face again when he loses and walks through that tunnel.
Yeah,
thinking that,
I know.
You know, he's got the whole off season to, you know, get his spa days and go to the spa and get his hair all done. Oh, I just can't. I'm not going to say it anymore. But, man, I hope it happens.
But, of course, here's the problem. You're going to see him walk into the car disappointed, but then he gets to go home. He gets
I get to go home with him. My wife's at home.
He gets
just
to go home.
Looking as Giselle.
Giselle says hello, and then he walks over to his big vault and swims in his giant vat of money, and he'll feel a little bit better.
Well, he's probably got that going for him.
They had their luck last year. They never should have won that game. They lucked out, so I think that's it for them.
All right.
Anyway,
thanks, Charlie.
Hey, guys, have a great weekend.
You
We're
too,
not
man.
Getting any snow up here, so.
All right, well, we'll tell you how it is down here.
All right.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it. All right, I got another caller on the line. By the way, folks, if you want to get in, we actually have some open lines if you want to try to sneak in. It's rare, but we do have some open lines today. If you want to get in, talk about whatever you want to talk about at 201-939-4513. And we will go through your predictions. I haven't gotten through these yet. Thank you for bringing it up. I totally forgot. Let's go to Robert in Georgia. He's up next on line two. Robert, line three, excuse me. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing well, Rob. How are you?
What's up?
All right. I just wanted to see, the hiring of Ben McAdoo is pretty good. I just got a question, like, you know, like some of the situations, like, you know, on fourth down, who actually, you know, gave the go-ahead to go on, like, those fourth down? Did Coughlin say go ahead, or did Ben McAdoo?
Deciding going on fourth down is usually a decision that's left to the head coach.
Yeah.
But then I think the offensive coordinator probably plays a big role in deciding what play you run once you go for it. Right, Jeff? That sounds about right?
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you know, you only got 40 seconds to decide what's going on, so there's not much discussion going on between the OC and the head coach. But I think it also has to go with the ebb and flow of the game. And there's certain situations where both the offensive coordinator and the head coach know they're going to be going for it anyways.
Right.
But I think that John hit it the nail on the head when it's usually the head coach's decision.
Okay, and I got another thing, too. Like, as far as players that they bring in, like either free agency or, you know, through the draft and stuff, could they try not to bring in players that have like a history of, you know, getting, you know, injuries and stuff?
Because every time they bring somebody in, like
John Beeson, you know, they brought him. He played about 10, 11 games for us. Then they signed him, they gave him a contract, and after that, you know, he got hurt.
You know, Rob, the funny thing is, and look, Beeson's an example of your point, and it's a good one, and it's a fair one. But then they've gone out and signed guys like Robert Ayers, who rarely missed a game in Denver. Then he comes here and he misses 9 games in 2 years, whatever he missed. So, I mean, look, the Giants' luck with injuries has been bad. And how much of that's luck, how much is it is, you know, drafting guys that are quote-unquote injury-prone, you know, or signing them, whatever, I think it's hard to say. You know, some guys you draft, like, I don't think Prince Amukamara missed a game in college when he played for Nebraska. I think he played every game. And he gets to the pros, he's injury problems. Sometimes you just can't predict it.
It's tough. It really is. And there's no way to
pinpoint.
Thanks for
the call, Rob. Appreciate it.
And there's really nowhere to pinpoint, like, why.
Oh, it changed so many things.
As much as this team has done to try to find out that answer, and they never really ever will, but they try to do things differently. When you study it, it has a little bit of results from it. Maybe coming from another team, they do it this way. But there's really no way to do it. And I think that free agency and the draft are something that it's not an exact science, but it is to a point where these guys are really taking a lot of time to get to know these people, and they're contacting the colleges of getting their medical records and things. And there may be something in there that says, no, we're not going to go after this guy because he had this kind of an injury or whatever. But so John is holding a piece of paper with my name on it, but I know that it's Jeff from Rhode Island.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through like two at a time in between callers okay? Jeff in Rhode Island, he predicted the Giants won't win more than 5 games this year.
Wow.
He was close.
That was
really
good. He won 6.
So, yeah. Jeff, pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's not too bad. I'm not going to kill you for that. Good effort.
Actually, that's the leader.
Still wrong.
That's the leader in the house.
And I'll go through one more, and I don't know which game this was from, but Abdul predicted Hakeem Nicks would catch a 40-yard touchdown on a slant and go. But it doesn't matter what game it was. Didn't happen. So that is a big wrong one.
Well, we know it wasn't any of the games earlier in the season.
Sorry, Abdul. Adios. Stephanie, West Virginia, Roman Obin's number one fan. Stephanie, how are you? Good afternoon. How are you?
How are you? I'm waiting out the horrid blizzard that's supposed to come down here in this whole area. You know, the DMV and the WV. Boy, the Ben Micah do high. I didn't see that coming. But I'm just going to wait till he get his coaching staff and the draft, the country and all that kind of stuff like that. I mean, I know he's inexperienced and all that, and I think they should hire Mike Singletary as the linebackers coach. I discussed that on the episode of the Shake That show where we trying to say whether or not we're going to bring Spags back as a defensive coordinator and all that stuff like that. And I was saying, I wanted Jim Schwartz, but we got to keep Spags. I don't think it was Spags. I think it was the talent on the field. Yeah, I mentioned him on the Shakedown show in the episode sometime last week ago. Now, the quarterback coach, I don't know much about him, but let me get into it because I got to go run down the street to still about this week's games. For the first time, I think we're going to have two Snow Bowl championship games because it's supposed to snow in Carolina, too.
On Sunday, Stephanie, or Saturday?
Yeah. I think it's on Saturday, but, you know, it's going to be cold. They're going to have to clean it up and all that stuff. But, you know, Denver is always a massacre, which means if it is cold, not like down here, Arizona being, I'm not going to say good weather team, a hot weather team, they got to travel on the road. The advantage right there will be the Carolina Panthers. And technically, I'm going with Carolina because I think that defensive line is going to rattle Carson Palmer. If that defense show up big time and the Panthers don't allow them to get back in the game, I think it's going to be similar results what Seattle did to Arizona the week before. And so Seattle has the ability to come back on teams because they did that to Green Bay last year in the NFC Championship game. I can't say if Arizona down by 30 points, they have the ability to come back. I think I think overall they have the better team and the better coach, but the better quarterback, no. Carson Palmer is, to me, I never liked Carson Palmer. I never forget what he said. He was crying. He cried his way out of Cincinnati. He cried his way out of Oakland. You know, he's somebody that don't get it. I just don't think he's that good of a quarterback. He got excellent talent.
Sounds like a crybaby
around him. And for the AFC, I'm going to go with the Patriots because, you know, Peyton Manning is allergic. It's a really cold weather. I think the Patriots' defense is underrated.
What is the weather?
If Gronk is healthy, he's going to exploit that backfield. Pittsburgh lost that game because of that running back fumble. I think we're going to have a rematch of the Super Bowl 38. Only this time, I think the Panthers are going to win. They're going to win. I think beating the Seattle Seahawks was the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC. Last week. I could be wrong, or it could be Panthers dip. If Arizona goes to the Super Bowl, you guarantee either the Patriots going to win their fifth Super Bowl or Denver, Peyton Manning will win his second Super Bowl. Yep. Either way is a historical matchup.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Going for this. Hello?
Yeah, finish up.
Yeah, okay, I'm finish up. Either you got the Patriots going for their fifth Super Bowl, Peyton Manning be the first player to win two Super Bowls on two different teams, or Arizona or Panthers win their first Super Bowl. Thanks for taking my call. I got to run now.
Bye. Thank you, Stephanie. And survive the snow down there. We probably will get a lot of those Virginia, D.C. calls today. Everyone's
hunkering
down.
Would he be the first
down.
Quarterback to win Super Bowls from two different teams as a quarterback? Because I know other players have won Super Bowls with two different teams, but I'm wondering if there has been a quarterback to play, you know.
Jim Plunkett, but I believe both of those were with Oakland.
Interesting, right?
It's a good question, Jeff. That's a good question.
I rarely have good, good questions. But
Montana never went with the Chiefs.
Nope. Favre, nope.
No, Favre didn't go with any other team.
He only won one anyways, but.
Aikman didn't do it with more than one team. Yeah.
Oh, I know who one that's played in but didn't win both of them would be what's his name?
I don't know. What's
Warner.
His name?
Remember Saints and, Rams and the Arizona.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
So, Drew Brees never played in,
Bledsoe never got back a second time after losing with the Patriots in 95.
I think Kurt Warner, that's definitely, he didn't win it, but I know he played on one, on two teams.
You know, really good quarterbacks don't change teams. That's
the trick. That's it, yeah, yeah.
I mean, exactly. That's really the trick. Yeah, I'll think about that.
Maybe
but a
caller will give us
so.
That.
By the way, the weather in Denver on Sunday, boy. Oh, boy. high of 48 degrees.
Oh, that's not bad.
Rather cloudy and colder. Rain and snow showers in the afternoon with little or no accumulations.
What time is that game at?
In the afternoon. That'd be
1:30. 1, 4.
That'd be 3 o'clock Eastern time. So that'd be 1 o'clock Mountain time.
A big deal, 48 degrees.
No, but the rain.
Yeah.
That actually helps Denver to me. Anything that can slow down the Patriots' offense is going to help them.
I think that helps Denver because they have a better running game.
But then again, Ken, like Stephanie brought up, can Peyton throw through the bad weather? I don't know. That's a good question.
No, she said he's allergic to bad weather, too.
Allergic?
Yeah. Or our boy Jeff from Rhode Island called in because we threw out.
By the way, Dave had your wife on the line for a second. I was so excited to bring her on the phone. It would have been tremendous, but then she dropped off.
Yeah, I'm sure she knows.
I was going to ask her all sorts of questions.
Yeah.
It would have been like 60 minutes, Jeff Beagles.
She was not on the line.
New prediction. Shakes. John Beeson will play in 12 games. John Beeson's not playing 12 quarters. So, Shakes. Shake him on down.
Down the turnpike,
Adios.
Shakes.
Dean in Connecticut. The Giants will have 50-plus sacks.
Don't throw that one out. That's going to be, that's an all-timer. Just keep that one around.
And 12 sacks will be the leader.
Leader?
Single leader. How many did Ayers wind up with?
He had double digits, so I think it might have been 10.
I don't think he got to 11.5, though.
But this would be more apropos. 5.0.
Or, you know what? The funny thing, if you cut that number in half.
25.
It's still too many.
Yeah.
I think they finished at 23.
So. Remember, at one
Dean,
point
Dean, you're
time,
a good caller. You're a good pal, but that is a.
That's a funny one.
That's a rough one right there. 9.5 for Ayers, by the way. I didn't think he got to 10. So.
Okay, 9.5.
Dean, that's a little rough.
We'll throw it out.
That's a little rough. Okay, here we go.
Did anybody have 50 sacks in the season?
Yeah, I think somebody did.
I mean, if the Giants had half of that.
Do you want me to check that out?
I would imagine if the Giants.
Usually the leader in sacks has around 50.
Okay.
Let's see. We can look that up real quick here. But, yeah, we actually went back and we looked at some of the past seasons, and they were usually in and around 50 or so sacks. All right, here we go. Pass defense. Hey, NFL automatically puts you in the postseason stats. Who looks up postseason stats in individual years? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's been 3 games.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What team do you think led the league in sacks this year? Let's play a little game.
I don't know, John. I'm not even going to.
They are playing this weekend.
Was it Arizona?
No.
Okay.
It was the Denver Broncos.
It was Denver. Okay,
with
Denver.
52.
Yeah. That led the league. 52.
You know who was second? The New England Patriots.
Wow. Yeah.
49.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers sixth with 44. And the Arizona Cardinals 20th with 36.
And the Giants were?
The Giants were 30th with 23.
What?
The Bills had 21 and the Falcons
which
had a
The Bills being 31st in sacks is, to me, that's crazy.
Malpractice?
That's crazy.
I'm use that word because I'm going to go back to 2014 for a second. They had 19 sacks, right? Guess how many sacks the Bills had last season?
They had a bunch. I'm going to say 41.
They led the league with 54.
Yeah, that's there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe Jim Schwartz is a better defensive coordinator than Rex Ryan. Here we go. Dave Dominic, our excellent call screener. No quarterback has Super Bowl wins at 2 different teams. Jim Plunkett won with the Oakland and the L.A. Raiders.
Okay.
Same franchise, 2 cities. Peyton, Kurt Warner, and Craig Morton have starts with 2 different teams in the Super Bowl but never won with both. Craig Morton with Dallas. Trying to think of who the other one was with. Chiefs? Broncos.
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 Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So there has not been a quarterback that has won both of them. So,
no, but so, has appearances. Yes.
So Peyton Manning will be probably the.
Well, he'll try this year.
Interesting.
He failed against Seattle already. Yeah. All right,
but
Andrew,
like you said, to your point, these good quarterbacks don't just bounce around.
Correct. Well, yeah. Andrew, Virginia Beach, you're up next. How are you, Andrew?
You guys,
I'm good. How are you guys, man? Long time listener, first time caller.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, good.
First off, I'm very stoked about the Ben McAdoo hire. I think it was a fantastic hire. Keep it continue. I can't talk right now.
Continuity.
Continuity with Eli and the offense going. Second point is I think Victor Cruz, and you can mark me down for this, put me on the wall. I don't mind being the first person on the wall.
Oh, you are going to be the first person on the wall.
Victor Cruz is going to be comeback player of the year next year. I think he's going to pull the Adrian Peterson hat trick, and I think he's going to come back better than ever.
Awesome. Awesome.
And
that would be great, by the
third,
way.
I would absolutely love it. I that's what we were missing this year. We're missing him opposite Odell. And I just cannot wait to see those two on the field together and the damage they're going to cause. And my third point, I really don't care about the NFC game. I hope Larry Fitzgerald get a Super Bowl ring. But I think the Denver Broncos are going to win this game against the Patriots. Only because if you look at Tom Brady's statistics back when he was winning Super Bowls in the early 2000s, he had a defense behind him. And Peyton Manning, when he was with the Colts, it was really Peyton Manning's team, and he was doing all the heavy lifting. And now the roles have kind of reversed, and Tom Brady's kind of doing the heavy lifting. Yeah, that Patriots defense, they got some playmakers, but I think that Denver defense is going to give them fits all game long.
Andrew, I hope you're right.
I think they're going to be able to. What's up?
I said I hope you're right, and your prediction is on the wall. You are number one on the list right here.
You were
that
right.
Is awesome to know.
Thank
all right,
you.
Thanks,
guys,
Andrew.
Have a wonderful day, man, and stay warm up there. We're starting to get the beginnings of the storm down here.
Is it starting to snow there?
Yes, sir. We got probably about 2 or 3 inches on the ground right now, and it's those fat snowflakes.
Uh-oh.
Good luck. God bless, my friend.
Yeah, good luck.
Take it easy.
Thanks for calling in.
Keep it away from us.
By the way,
man,
did you see what happened to Washington, D.C. with 1 inch of snow yesterday?
Well, do you remember last year?
1 inch of snow, and they had like 5 hours of delays in traffic. 1 inch. How does 1 inch of snow affect traffic on a highway? It all melts if it's 1 inch of snow. And people are blaming the city how ill-prepared they were? No. If it's 1 inch of snow, the city shouldn't have to do anything. It's an inch
it's
of snow.
It's the government. It's in our...
No, but if you're a civilian and you can't handle an inch of snow...
Then get out of there.
Get
go
out
to
of there. It's an inch. It's an inch. It doesn't even get above the air bubble in your Nikes. Come on.
1 inch. 1 inch.
You can't drive on a highway with an inch of snow? An inch? Really?
So let me ask you a question.
Come on.
Would you rather have... I mean, do you like the snow?
I'm hot and cold on the snow.
I mean, so like...
No pun intended.
I think for the people that come to work every single day like yourself, wouldn't you rather have this storm hit like in the middle of the week?
Yeah, I said this yesterday. I would not mind this. If this would hit Sunday into Monday, get a little 3-day weekend out
right?
of it.
Right? I mean, it seems like it always happens like a Friday, Saturday,
yeah.
Sunday.
It's too bad.
But I kind of wish there was going to be some football on Saturday. But
yeah, we're all going to be trapped inside.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. A couple more predictions.
Okay.
Art Stapleton predicted that JPP's first game back would be October 4th against Buffalo. That turned out to be a little bit early, so Art, you're wrong on that. We have Anthony in Phoenix said the Giants would average 28 points per game. They were at 26.2, so close. Anthony, solid effort, but you're not quite there.
Close.
And then Dom in New Jersey said the Giants would finish 11-5.
All right, so we've got two callers that have been pretty close on some of their predictions. One only win five games.
Yeah.
And that one was 2 yards difference?
Yeah.
Around 2 points difference in the game?
And this was my fault.
You're taking blame for this?
Well, yeah, because I have a Twitter prediction, but I didn't write. It says, at Elam Gray, minimum 80 catches, 1,100 yards, and 10 touchdowns. But
true.
I don't have a player written down. And that's my handwriting. So that's my fault.
I got to think that it was Odell.
If it's Odell, you're right. If it was anybody else, you were very, very wrong. There you go. All
right, if it's anybody else, you're very, very, very wrong.
Very wrong. Jeff in Rhode Island, he was close with his five wins, but not quite. Jeff, how are you, pal?
You can't change your prediction, Jeff.
I'm doing okay. You guys got your shovels out? You all ready to go?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
Listen, you know, we're working guys. We pay people to do that. No, just kidding.
That's good. Yeah, I know all about it. We're gonna get about maybe 1 to 3 inches of snow in Rhode Island, so I'm not too worried about
this
at all. But, hey, thanks, Johnny, for not killing me on my prediction.
Hey, you were close.
You've been close so far. You've been one of the closest.
I gave that to Anita, and she responded by calling me a negative Nelly. But I had to call it as I saw it. So, anyways, let me give you my prediction for wins and losses for this year, okay?
Oh, you're going already.
Second.
All right. Hold on, Jeff. Hold on.
Just wait till the staff gets
Jeff,
put together. Let's wait for our coaching staff. Wait for the draft.
I'm getting a lot of positive vibes already.
Oh,
okay?
My. Jeff, it's very early. I don't want you to do this. I'm trying to save you from yourself, Jeff.
You know the unwritten law of this game is you cannot go back and change your answer.
Okay?
Oh, boy, Jeff.
I want you to put it up there.
This is a big mistake.
January 22nd.
It's a big mistake.
10-6.
It's a big mistake.
Is that win the division?
Possibly.
No, I can't see.
I can't see that far ahead right now.
Wait, hold on a second. You're predicting the exact record, but you won't tell me if they're going to win the division?
Possibly. I got to think that 10-6, you're tied.
How about there's a real good chance, okay?
See,
Jeff, I gotta tell you, nothing would make me – the only thing that could make me happier than seeing the Broncos – beat the Patriots Sunday night is looking on my brand new grandson that's 5 months old, almost 6 months old. That's the only thing that could make me happier.
Let me tell you, congratulations. And
you want a grandfather yet, are you?
No, shut up, Joe. what's his name?
And, his name is Logan.
Logan, nice.
And so Logan in Rhode Island.
By the way, he will be brought up to be a New York Giants fan, even though he lives in Norwood, Massachusetts.
Yeah, and I'm
he will be a Giants fan.
How you know? And just to think that I mean, I like the name Logan. I have one of my sons has a friend named Logan, but because those guys live up there in Massachusetts. To name your son after an airport, right? I mean, is that where it's going, Logan? Is that where
No. I don't think so. I don't think it was going that way at all. But,
just kidding.
Just for the record, his father. I named his father. His first name is Aaron. His middle name is Tucker after a couple of really good football Giants players from years ago.
Of course,
and Aaron Thomas and
Aaron Thomas.
That's
Bob
awesome.
Tucker.
Well, congratulations on being a grandfather.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's a beautiful thing. You guys take care in the snow, okay?
Ten and six would be a beautiful thing next year too, Jeff. So we'll put you. We're on there up on the board.
It will be a beautiful thing.
It's too early. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate his optimism and his vigor. But can we at least see who's on the damn roster first before we start throwing predictions out there? Hey, look, we know Victor Cruz could be. He's on the contract. So if you want to throw an individual player stuff, that's fine. I'm putting him. Jeff's been calling since day one of this show, so I'll let him do it. But I'm putting an official moratorium on win predictions until we get past the draft, all right? How about that? Can we draft somebody before we start predicting wins, please?
We are. The Giants had the 10th pick in the draft. Maybe we can ask about where are they going to pick there. We'll do that later.
Well, quarterback, right? They got to pick a quarterback this year?
Right, absolutely.
Maybe a punter. Field goal kicker.
Wow. If they picked the punter 10th, there would be some – I wouldn't want to do this show.
Clearly not.
Can you imagine?
Oh, boy. You know what? Now that I read this, I remember it, and I was incredulous then, and I'm incredulous now. My man Shakes in Baltimore. Eric Flowers will be a 2015 Pro Bowler.
When was that taken?
I think it was after he got moved into the starting lineup after the Beattie injury.
And you do pretty good well putting dates on here, but maybe next year going forward to put – yeah, so you got the dates up there.
Yeah,
although on the Virginia Beach one you did not.
Where'd the marker go?
So I think that – and I think that, you know, offensive linemen, when they make their first Pro Bowl, they're pretty much going to make it every year after that.
And it takes them to be Pro Bowl worthy for a couple years usually before they get that first Pro Bowl. But you know what? These guys voting –
It's a joke.
There's no stats. Nobody has a damn clue what offensive linemen are doing. Listen, I mean, Jeff, look.
Remember the year O'Hara made He made the Pro Bowl as center, and he missed 10 games.
I know, and he had much better years the 2 years prior. And look, I've seen it from afar, but you've been in the room. And hold on one second. I got one reading quick before we do this. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, a daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, play as often as you want. No season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. I've seen this from afar.
I know where you're going.
The players on the roster picking Pro Bowlers.
It's ridiculous.
And I listened to some of the conversations that have taken place with team players. Like, oh, what team is he on again? What conference is that team in?
Yeah.
You'd be shocked how absolutely clueless some of these players are about what's going on.
Especially the younger guys.
Not playing.
Especially the younger guys.
Dude, they're so lost.
They're lost because, you know what? If you're a guy coming out of college.
Don't they all play Madden?
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is they come out. These are your favorite players growing up. They just vote for them.
Oh, okay. I see.
They don't know any of the other guys. You know? They just like,
but they should know all the rosters because of Madden. That's how I learned all the rosters growing up. You play Tecmo Super Bowl.
You
know, every guy in the roster.
They go to school. They don't have time to play Madden. Listen, that's just the way it is. You know, they don't have time to do that stuff. They have time to just go to school and play football.
Well, I should have brought this up when Charlie was on the line. On March 14th, 2014, Charlie gave up on the season.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
That's Charlie for you, though.
Let's see. We have Larry in Florida, 10 wins on June 25th. So that's also incorrect. I'll leave my last one for a second. Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe's up next. How are you, Joe?
Joe.
Hi, Jeff, John, Eric. Great to talk to you. My last name's not Nostradamus. I don't have no predictions there, you know, especially this year coming. 50% of the roster might be changed again,
yes.
Too. I can tell you about the snow there, John. There, you just get a dusting. If the temperature's real cold, it freezes ice, it can be very slippery and hard, you know, because the salt ain't working if the temperatures are down there in the teens, you know. So that I can tell you about.
I still blame Washington, D.C.
Still
the lobbyists.
One thing watching these playoff games this year, you know, it could take some souls, or I can't say that right, that word right, that we played, gave Carolina and New England all they needed, you know what I mean, wanted in that game. You know, we played great games against them. And I was just looking ahead in the draft there that, you know, in our division, you know, with these good tight ends, Washington with Reed and the Eagles have a couple good ones. Dallas's one's getting a little older. But really, you know, to match up with them and like with Cam Newton, you know what I mean, with him running that, we really do need somebody to cover these guys. We need somebody fast to, you know, either a safety or a linebacker. And if we don't have that, that's maybe just as important or more than having the pass rush. And we really been lacking and hurting to covering these tight ends. And that's the main thing I want to say. You know, I hope we could get somebody, you know.
Oh, they're going to go get somebody,
if
Joe.
We don't have – but he has to have size. He has to be an athlete to be able to cover these tight ends. And even in that game against Carolina, you know, if we had somebody spying Newton with some speed, you know what I mean, and crack him, he wouldn't be running. And once his legs get cracked a while – because you see when he gets in the game, when it comes down to crunch time, he's ready to take that ball himself. And if I'm in Arizona there and watching these films, boy, I would crack him good, you know, and he won't be running so much. But you need somebody with some speed to match up and to go after him. So that's all I have to say. So thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Thanks Joe.
Three more predictions real quick, and we got one more call. Rudy, back on April 30th, 11-5, postseason run to the Super Bowl. Nope. Joey in Virginia, Eli, 40 touchdowns, 9 picks. He finished with 35-14, so not awful. Not great, but not awful.
Yeah, but you know what? When you think about that prediction, that's a pretty good prediction for a good year for Eli. I mean, he's saying we feel like he's going to be a second year in McAdoo's system. That's a nice year right there.
And
that's a huge year.
And then Victor in Florida, 9-7. So that's it. Those are our predictions, folks. I feel like they tailed off. But, again, I don't want to do – we can do individual player predictions for next year if you want, but I'm not doing records yet, except for Jeff's wild swing for the fences, his haymaker punch. I just missed. I tried to hit Dominic in the head there. I missed him.
A real good chance of winning the division.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I like it.
And remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you never played DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Final caller of the program is Quincy. He's out in Pennsylvania as well. Quincy, how are you, buddy?
How you doing? I had a couple of questions. How you doing, Jeff?
Wonderful. Quincy, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Big-time Giants fan. Wanted to know, with the number 10 pick, will we either go for somebody best available, like the best talented, or are we going to go for somebody that we need? I think with the number 10 pick, we got players like Laquan Treadwell that we probably be out there, or maybe Ezekiel Elliott, talent like that, even though I know we need defensive-wise, but someone that could come in and help Odell and maybe Victor, too, on that chorus right there. And also, how do you guys feel about this Mike Singletary interview? And do you think he'll be signed with us before the end of the week or before next week?
I did not hear of Mike Singletary being interviewed.
I mean, we can talk about Mike Singletary as a coach. The Giants don't comment on interviews for assistant coaches, and they haven't made any of those announcements. But, look, Mike Singletary is a head coach. I believe he was a position coach before that. Obviously, that much publicized, you know, kind of straining out Vernon Davis a little bit. Known as an excellent motivator. Not sure how much of a technique type of coach that he is, from what I understand. But, look, there aren't a ton of assistants that don't have jobs right now either. So it's not like there's a gigantic, you know, list of guys with a, you know, a ton of experience out there. And given his past, you like the items on the resume. I'll put it that way.
I will tell you this.
Right.
From a coaching perspective of how things work in the National Football League, the Senior Bowl is kind of the last stop in hiring coaches. It's you know, all of them are there. And there's even the guys that don't have jobs go to the Senior Bowl.
Oh, do they show up to that?
They show up because all the coaches are there, and there's interviews that are taking place at the Senior Bowl for coaches. And then you'll see a big slew of signings after the Senior Bowl. So, you know, I would imagine, I'm not saying with the Giants, but in particular, but from the face of the whole NFL, that's usually the kind of the what happens. The guys that are still out there that have not been, like, the coordinators and things like that have already been signed. That's a big way of a hiring. It's almost like a job fair, the Senior Bowl. But that's what will happen. So, and you know, on your question about the draft, I think that historically the Giants go with the philosophy is that we actually do all of our homework. But as the draft goes along, we're going to take the best available player, and that's kind of the way. Now, how will that change with Ben McAdoo and the Jerry Reese regime? Now, you know, we don't know that. But I'm pretty sure that when you go from philosophy and year after year, it certainly seems to me that that's the way that they would go again. But we'll see what happens.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Yeah, have a great weekend.
All right, Jeff. Fun show today.
It was good. I mean, we kind of hit all kinds of different stuff. I know that John wants me to touch up on my college stuff for next week going into the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, we are going to have a couple spots next week, previewing the Senior Bowl on Tuesday. It looks like I have Dane Brugler set up. He's waiting for his schedule, his flights and everything. He's
awesome.
Going out there. So he'll be previewing that with us on Tuesday. Then we'll try to get somebody live from the Senior Bowl on Friday. And obviously that kind of starts the official college draft season for the regular season game portion of it. You got the Senior Bowl. Then you have the combine, then you have the individual workouts. So we're moving along in the process, and obviously another big year for the Giants. You never want to be picking in the top 10, but when you do, you want to take advantage of it. So a lot of good players out there to be had. The Giants just got to find one.
They got to find one, and they got to find, your first rounder can't be a miss. You know, you got to have impact on that guy's got to come in and start for you.
Here's a question. You know how bad the Giants' defense was this past year?
Sure.
Okay? Does your first round pick have to be on the defensive side of the ball?
I mean, I think philosophically I would say yes. But the way that the team picks in their history, no. But I would like to see them draft a linebacker.
All right. And there is a linebacker. I'm not sure if he's going to be around yet, but Miles Jack, the linebacker out of UCLA, is supposed to be a top 10 guy. Very good. They're actually supposed to be two top 10 linebackers this year until the Jalen Smith kid out of Notre Dame tore up his knee.
Yeah. And
I wonder how far he's going to drop because of that.
A couple rounds.
You think you'll go? You don't think he'll go into the first round?
Well, let's look at it. Compare that to Gurley as a running back. Remember, he was projected first round. He dropped to what? Third
he also
round?
Tore up his knee what 2 months earlier. Gurley tore up his knee what end of October, right?
I don't know, but I think that I'm just trying to as far as how far they slide.
Another month and a half of rehab, I'm thinking. You know, but if you get 2 months later, maybe he's not. You know, Gurley still missed the first month.
Yeah.
And
so now this
if Jalen Smith's another month back, then he's not back till November.
That's so sad. I mean, you're talking millions
really
of dollars.
Really good player, too.
Talking about millions of bucks here.
I wonder how far he's going to drop.
Well, I just think that teams are not willing to pay that first, second round money. I mean, obviously it starts to go down a lot after you get out of the first round. But
and he's going to be so early in his rehab process, he's really not going to be able to show these guys anything in the combine or workouts.
No, nothing. They're going to have to go on what he did in college. You know, and be nice to have the guy from UCLA and then see what Double O can do next year. And two guys from same team. Be nice.
Jeff, we appreciate the time.
Hey, Johnny, great weekend. Have a nice one.
You too. That's Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time. Have a great weekend. Survive the snow. We'll be back with you on Monday.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.